Good morning, everyone. It's Christmas, and I'm sure those with young children in their homes, you've been woken early, and you've been running around finding those Christmas presents and opening up and rejoicing this time. But yes, I want to just say to every one of you online today, Merry Christmas. May the Lord's presence just be real with you at this time, and it's a time to rejoice and to celebrate in what our Father has given us in His Son. Just want to go through some announcements, and then we're going to be praying for today. Just to remember, as we've gone into the season of holiday on Sunday the 26th, which is tomorrow, there will be no meeting on the 1st of January, but we will be having an online meeting, and the link will be sent to you from the 9th of January. And remember, our first in-person meeting is on the 16th of January, so please be there. Just also want to encourage you at this time to spend time with family, spend time with friends, and just get refreshed in this Christmas time. It's a time of rejoicing, but it's also a time to be refreshed. If you can also do our tithes and offerings, so you'll see on the screen, there'll be the bank accounts that will come up. If you can deposit your tithes and offerings, and this Christmas Day, it's an almsgiving. We want to remember those that are not as privileged as we are, if you can give into that. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful time of Christmas. It's a time that you have sent your Son to be a gift to us, to be the Savior of the world. And Father, as we rejoice today in this gift that you have given us, may you warm our hearts as we look to you and we trust in you and allow you to permeate all that we do today. We ask that your blessing would rest upon us and our families today, wherever we are celebrating. Lord, may your presence be a reality to us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go into a time of worship, and take this time also not to just to watch the screen, but to see the words and to sing along and to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Amen.
Of angels sing in exaltation, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God in the high.
Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him.
Adore Jesus Christ.
Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels.
Oh, come, let us adore Him.
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 We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star.
Oh, stars of wonder, stars of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect life. Born a king of Bethlehem plain, gold I'd bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, stars of wonder, stars of light, stars with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breath of life, of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb.
Oh, star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Stars with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Stars of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels try? When you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. Did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect man? The sleeping child you're holding is the great.
Today I want to share the word with you, and the title of my message today, To Us a Son is Given. In the heart of God from time beginning, God always had a plan to save his people. And the story, as we read in the scriptures several hundred years ago, the foretelling of the birth of Christ in Bethlehem was foretold. The Israelites knew there was a promise, the prophecies that came through the prophets, that a Messiah would come, a Savior was come, the Anointed One would come. And as we read the scriptures, we see that Israel was awaiting a Messiah to come, one that would save Israel. But yet, Jesus was given to save mankind. And I want to just share with that and encourage us today and remember, what is this time of celebration? It's a time to remember what God has given to us. He's given us a son. So let's turn in our Bibles to the text, and I want to read from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. Isaiah chapter 9, 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So the context of this here today, there was prophecy about Christ that will be coming. It was foretold and fulfilled. It was a miraculous event. The newspapers of the day weren't broadcasting it, but God heralded it. And how did he do that? He revealed what was actually happening to the shepherds as they were watching their flocks by night, and to the three magi that were from the east. They were foretold. They saw a star in the sky, and they came to see what was happening. But today, as we have celebrated Christmas for centuries, the devil has tried to take back and try to minimize what Christmas is about. How often have you seen where the big X is before the Mass and trying to take Christ out of Christmas? And that is not right. They brought in Santa Claus and his reindeer, and that is not the message of Christ. The world has got, even in communist countries, they celebrate Christmas because it's a time of commercials, buying gifts, and the retailers love it when they shops and they buy all the merchandise and they're happy. But that is not Christmas. Jesus was in the heart of God to be sent to be a savior with us. The Jewish nation knew that there was a promise of a king, but the rest of the world, the promise of a savior would be sent. This Jesus who came would dramatically and change the world forever. He changed history. He is the savior. He is the Christ. He is the son given to us. Now, according to that scripture in Isaiah chapter 9, I'd like to just go through some of the description of who he is, that we actually know who we're dealing with and what we're celebrating today. So we're going to be looking at him as the Son of Man, the Son of God, the King of Kings, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here Jesus is the Son of Man. In Isaiah 9:6 it says, "For us a child is born." This is a statement of his humanity. He began his life as a human, like you and I. We needed to be born and grow up as an infant. And Jesus did that. He was born in Bethlehem as an infant. He was nursed by his mother. He grew up as a young boy and became to maturity as a man. And we know that he died at around 33 years old. So he was human. That's why I said he was the Son of Man. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." So this Jesus came, even though he's God, came as man. He lived as man. He felt everything we feel. He got hurt like we get hurt. He wept like we weep. He mourned and grieved like we grieve and mourn. And even in his death, he felt the weight of sin as he took our sin upon him. So here we see this wonderful, wonderful Jesus who became man and could associate and be one with us. I was just thinking the other day, is that the sin that he took upon us, what was it like? And I remember an example, a man asked the Lord and said, what is sin? Please explain it to me. And one day he landed up working in a sewage works, and the sewage got stuck and he couldn't get out. And he was in the sewage and the stench of that. And in that moment, the Lord said to him, that is what the stench of sin is. And this is the price that Jesus actually paid for us when he took on this evil, the sin upon him, that we can be one with him. Secondly, Jesus is the Son of God. Isaiah 9:6 says, "To us a son is given." We see here that Isaiah says here that he was given to us. He was incarnate. It means that he was conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. As Isaiah says that Jesus existed before his birth. He was a pre-existent deity. He was already God. And I think this is a big thing where people will say that Jesus was a prophet. And I want to just say to you today, Jesus was already God. He was the second person of the Trinity. He was before all, and he came to this world as a savior. In Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 6 to 7, it says, "Who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." He came as the Son of God, God in a human body. He came to conquer sin and death forever. So Jesus is the perfect Son of God. He's the promise of the ages. He's the Holy One of Israel. the desire of the nations, the light in the darkness, the hope of a lost world. We can trust in him because he is the Son of God. Thirdly, he is the King of Kings. I remember the other day I was watching TV and the Queen of England was actually just sharing about her faith. And she said that Jesus is her sovereign, and that's what King of Kings really is. He's sovereign. He's the one that is totally in control. And it says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. There's a view, a future view from his birth, that he shall reign over a literal earth, geopolitical kingdom, and encompasses all kingdoms and governments of the world. He will reign as sovereign over a worldwide kingdom with his righteousness and his peace. But when we look today, we don't always see that. But in secret, his kingdom and his sovereign rule is manifest with those who believe. He is in our hearts. The kingdom of God is within us. In Luke chapter 17, verses 20 to 21, I'll read the last portion. It says here, they were asked, where is the kingdom of God? And he said, for indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. And that's where the miracle of this King of Kings, he realized that he didn't want necessarily to come and change a world, but he wanted to come and change you, and he wanted to come and live inside of you. And that's where his kingdom is manifest, and that's where he's the King of Kings. He rules and reigns within your heart. Fourthly, he's a wonderful counselor. The Messiah's kingdom has the answer to the world's confusion and how the world is in such confusion and such chaos at this time. I want to just say he's the only one that can counsel us in these difficult times that we find ourselves. Christ, while on earth, demonstrated his wisdom, and many came to him and didn't know what to do. He always knew what to say. He always knew what to do. He was the source of all truth. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Here, this wonderful counselor, Jesus, he knows everything. And this is an adjective. It declares that he's the wonderful counselor. The Holy Spirit is the counselor, but Isaiah says Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He knows everything about us. He knows everything about your heart, the inner workings of who you are. He knows the very hairs on your head, and he knows all the answers to your needs. So may we trust and obey him at this time and listen to him as the wonderful counselor. Then fifthly, he's mighty God. Isaiah 9, 6, it says, after wonderful counsel, he is mighty God. He's the king who is mighty God. Now, that adjective of mighty God, we sometimes don't understand it from the English, but it means almighty, that he is all-powerful. He's the one that can take and bring his power, he can bring his outworking and change chaos into a place of freedom and a place of liberty. He comes, and he comes into our lives, and where there's chaos, he brings his power and he brings order. And I'm sure even as you look past over this year and you've seen in your life that there's been chaos and there's been aspects that's been happened, and as you've trusted him, he's revealed himself and his great power and his wonderful, and he's brought order to your life. And I want to just encourage you that don't mistrust God. He is Almighty God. He's the sovereign master. He's the one that forgives your sin. He has defeated Satan, and he will defeat evil with you and in and through you as you stand on his word and stand in the authority of his name. He will liberate you from the power of the devil. He has redeemed us. He answers our prayers. He restores our broken souls. He reigns over our rebuilt lives, and he brings order to chaos. He's mighty God. He is one that you can trust. And next, number six, he is eternal Father. It says you are the everlasting Father. But if we take that phrase literally, it's not Father God, but he's the Father of eternity. Christ is the creator of heaven and earth. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10 to 12 says, and you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. And it just gets here, it reaffirms that Jesus was before time, and he was the one that created time. And he was the one that out of eternity fashioned the universe out of nothing. Now we can go to the scientists and try and work these things out, but the aspect of understanding that Jesus is the Father of eternity, he's the creator, he's the sustainer of everything, we need to be in a place and understand he's the one that understands the infinity, understand the intricacies of nothing and how to put nothing and make it actually work and to be some substance and to see life in this thing. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Father of eternity. in Isaiah 46 verse 10 encourages us to understand that he's the Father of eternity, declaring the end from the beginning. And also Romans 8, 28, it says, and we know for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. He guarantees all things will work together for the ultimate good of all his kingdom's people. This is something that we can trust and we can see. This Jesus was born those many, many years ago, is one that can be the eternal Father. And then number seven, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6, he says he's the Prince of Peace. This Christ, the Messiah, is the one that can come into our conflicts, can come into our lives and become the Prince of Peace. And there's 4 points here, is that this Jesus brings peace from God in Romans 1 verse 7 to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus comes and he brings the peace that is only found in God to come to us. And we all know that this peace is an imperative to the world in our lives and with the lives that we are experiencing at this time to enjoy the peace from God. And then peace with God, Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I think we don't understand the Savior that has been given to us is come to bring us peace with God, because we've been the enemies of God before this, and now we have peace with him. There's been a peace accord. There's been the new covenant that's been written in the blood of Jesus, that we have peace with God, that you're no longer an enemy of God. You're a child of God, but you have peace with God. And then thirdly, the peace of God, Philippians 4 verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Maybe you've come to the season and you've been through all the turmoil of what we're all facing, but you don't have the peace of God. Let me tell you, this Savior wants to give you the peace of God that will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a gift that has been given to us. And then fourthly, peace on earth. Luke 2 verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. And Jesus wants to bring peace on earth, but when we look to this world and we see at this time, we don't see peace on earth. But let me tell you that he will bring peace on earth at his second coming. He will bring and he will rule and reign. There'll be peace on earth. But today, as we yield our lives to him, he wants to bring peace to your heart. So let's hear those promises that what he's done, that he is the one to bring peace to us. So here this Jesus, in conclusion, has come to fulfill the prophetic promises in the Old Testament. He's come to take confusion away. He's come to deal with the complexities and the chaos of life and the conflicts of life. And I say again, for us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So Jesus, I know we come to celebrate his birth today, but I want to just encourage you today. No longer is an infant. Yes, he lived on earth. He died. He was buried. He was raised from the dead, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father. He finished the work. But you know what the scripture tells us, and the declaration is, he is now the Lord Jesus Christ. He was named Jesus. He was born as the Christ, the Messiah, the one, the Son of the living God. They knew him as Lord and Rabbi and teacher on earth. But today we need to know him as the Lord Jesus Christ. And my prayer and my encouragement to you this Christmas, may you know Jesus not as an infant. May you not know him as the man that walked on earth. May you not know him, the one that resurrected, but you will know him as the ascended Christ that now lives in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, and know him as the Lord Jesus Christ. May this Christmas be just so filled with the very, very one who is our Savior and who is our Lord. May you celebrate him, and may you go through these names, and may you ponder on these things and remember this is who Jesus is, and may you rejoice in him today. Let's pray. Maybe you're here today and you've never heard of Jesus, and maybe you've thought, well, he was a good man and he was a good prophet. But today, if you're in a place and you recognize him, that he's God Almighty, and he's the one that is in total control. He's the one that is the head of his church and is head of those that would submit to him. Will you do that today if you want him to become your Lord and Savior? If that's you today, will you surrender your heart? Will you submit yourself to him and say this personal and powerful prayer with me today? If that's you today, please say this after me. Lord Jesus, I recognize you today as Savior. I ask that you would be my Lord. I believe that you've been raised from the dead and you're alive today. And will you come and live in my heart, and will you take over the reins and rule in my life today, that I can follow you all the days of my life. And I want to thank you now that I belong to you, and help me to follow you in your mighty name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as we celebrate today, as we celebrate this Christmas day, wherever you find yourself, I'm sure you're going to get together with family, and a meal has been prepared, and I don't know what you've done. And in generally, we eat a wonderful meal to celebrate, but truly, may it be a time of celebration. And I'm really asking, at that meal, as you get together as a family, take time to pray, take time to give thanks, take time to remember Jesus. May it not be just about the presents and about the food, but may it be a time of remembering Jesus. So I'm asking, at your family gatherings, that you do that. I know sometimes you can't be in charge of those things, but where you can do those things, take time to give thanks to the Lord, because it truly is a time to give thanks to him. So have a wonderful time as you celebrate this Christmas. May the Lord's presence be with you. May you be uplifted. May you be strengthened. Have a great day as you celebrate Jesus. God bless you all. Amen. Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.